we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. Developing, today we are going to talk on demonstrating confidence in the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as our custom is, we'll pick it up from where we stopped last week. Amen. So we'll just pick it up from there, from where we stopped last week. Okay. All right. Philippians 3, verse 3. We'll do King James Version. Then we'll run very quickly to amplify. Glory to God. Are we ready? Then we'll go to Hebrews. Today I want us to read Hebrews 6. There is a blessing in reading it. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever been so blessed just reading the scriptures? You were just reading the scriptures. And you were so blessed. You were so blessed. Why? There's a blessing in reading the scriptures. Glory to God. Amen. All right, so we're going to read it together. Philippians 3:3. We'll read this one together in King James and in Amplified Version. Are you ready? One, two, go. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. I didn't hear you. Can we read it again? One, two, go. Read it out loud. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. That should bless you. Very quickly, Amplified Translation. One, two, go. He says, for we Christians at the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit and by the spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh, or and physical advantages and external appearances. Hallelujah. So you know where your confidence should be. Glory to God forevermore. Christianity is a call to walk with God. Are you with me? It's a call to walk in the supernatural. Last week I told you that the job of a preacher is not to make you conscious of your humanity. I know there are a lot of people who have attempted to make people comfortable in their humanity. Pamper them in carnality. Amen. Some took that word. I saw it on social media. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, the job of the preacher is to challenge you to practice divinity. You already are aware of your humanity. There are many things happening in the world to make you conscious that you are human. So the pastor should not stand before you and say, you know, we are all human. You know, let's be conscious that we are human. That's nonsense. Are you with me? Rather, a minister of the gospel should call you forth from within to answer your divine call. Glory to God. To live the supernatural life. To live the divine life that has been programmed into your spirit. That is the job of a preacher. That is the job of a minister. Are you with me? And how we do that is through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. That means when we look into God's Word, we see God's prescription. And we adjust our curriculum to fit God's prescription. To fit God's expectation. Are we together? So he says, we are the circumcision. By the way, that is spiritual. I thought the only people who were circumcised were the Jews. But Paul is speaking spiritually. When you study Colossians chapter 2 verse 11, New Living Translation, he sees that. He says, when you came into Christ, you were circumcised. He says, Christ himself made the circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. So he's speaking spiritually. The day you gave your life to Christ, you were circumcised. And it's the circumcision of your heart, the circumcision of your spirit. This is why you don't have two natures anymore. Hallelujah. Those two nature teachings, they don't stand the test of New Testament doctrine. Are you with me? You can see that. He said, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised. You can put on the scriptures. Let's read it. When you came into Christ, you were circumcised. He says, Christ himself, you were circumcised. but not a physical procedure. We read it 2 weeks ago that even the covenant of circumcision was a prophecy concerning the Christ that should come, concerning the new covenant. Have it together. You can see that in Galatians 3. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Are you with me? So we are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Meaning we boast. King James says rejoice. The right translation is boast in Christ Jesus. I think NIV puts it that way. We boast in Christ Jesus. TPT says we boast in what Christ has done. We boast in what Christ has done. That means God is not against boasting. You know, if you are not schooled in the things of the spirit and you hear people like us, you may think we are braggadocious. He said, man, these pastors are just talking about. You hear us say we can never fail. And somebody like, you hear us say we control tomorrow. Somebody say, our people say, who knows tomorrow? Your people, your village people and the Bible, who will you follow? Our people say, who knows tomorrow? Hallelujah. But we boast in Christ Jesus. We boast in Christ Jesus. We boast in this covenant. And we have no confidence in the flesh. That means our confidence is in this covenant. Our confidence is in the word of promise that God has given. But he didn't just give a word of promise. He confirmed it by an oath. And the Bible says, for by these two immutable things, your heart should be assured that God cannot lie. Are you with me? That God spoke is enough. His word has integrity. And this is the basis of the covenant. God gives a word. He has the power to make it come to pass. When he speaks, his entire throne is back of what he has said. But see, man in his natural state was not acquainted with the integrity of God's word. So he began to question God. We see that in Genesis 15. Abraham says, Lord, you've been saying nice things to me. I'm going childless. And God says, come out of your tent, look into heaven. He preached Christ to him. He believed. It was credited to him for righteousness. He says, I will give you the land and the whole world. He said, Lord, how shall I know that we inherited? God said, this guy does not know the power of my words. Listen, study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's something about the integrity of God's word. God is one with his word. When he speaks, he makes it good. Are you with me? But man at that time was not acquainted with the character of God's word. He was influenced by his physical context. He was influenced by what maybe one day his father promised him and failed. You know, many of us have those experiences. Your uncle say, oh, Janet, you have finished school. Don't worry, I'll give you 1 million to start your business. And then you waited his 5 years now, the 1 million has not come. Are you with me? So we are acquainted with men speaking and not backing their words with action. And subconsciously, we have trapped God in that realm. But unfortunately, God does not dwell there. This was the limitation of Abraham. He lived with men who could not keep their words. So when God spoke, you need to catch this. When God spoke, he interpreted the word of God in the context of the men around him. And God said, I am beyond the men that you see. Yes, but no problem. There's something more I will do to assure your hearts that my words will come to pass. Abi, you know, in your town, when men are arguing, when men are arguing, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means even in those days, because men are used to not keeping their words, when the promise is made, they're called covenant. And covenant meant, as we cut these animals into two, and as they are bleeding like this, we swear by a deity that we both recognize. If I don't keep my word, so you may I be like this animal, under the power of the gods that we are swearing by. Are you with me? So God said, oh, Abraham, no problem. I'll come to your context. Get me an heifer. Get me a ram. Get me a turtle dove. Get me a pigeon. Cut the animals into two. I will cut a covenant with you. So that your heart can be sure. Since you can't understand that when I speak, I keep my words. I want to assure your heart that through this blood covenant, at least your heart should be assured that if I don't keep my word, so you may I be like one of these animals. And the Bible says God looked round. He wanted to swear by the greater. But there's no one greater than El Elyon. The Bible says he swore by himself. He swore by himself. Do you understand the covenant now? He swore by himself. He swore by himself. He says, Abraham, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply you. He swore by himself. So the Bible says, with these two immutable things, your heart should be assured. Amen. I promise we'll read Hebrews 12. Just put it up. Let me read it. King James. He said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You now see where the oath came in from. He wanted to assure Abraham. And not just Abraham, his seed. Are you here? Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Amen. Now he began to explain. You have talked about Abraham. Abraham is dead and gone. How do we come in? And this is the explanation. Amen. It says, for men verily swear by the greater. That was what I quoted earlier. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means when they take an oath and go into covenant, there's no more argument. You know that if this guy doesn't keep his word, he's going to die. Are you with me? That is what he's saying. He now brings God in. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise. Listen, that means God's focus while he was cutting covenant with Abraham was the heirs of the promise. It was beyond Abraham. It was you and I. Oh, glory to God. So when we think about God's word of promise, we know that he swore. He stood in blood and swore to help your faith. He said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. That means the unchanging nature of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his word. He confirmed it by an oath. Amen. He now goes further. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. You know the two immutable things? That word of promise and then the oath. We might have a strong consolation. This is where we are. We might have a strong consolation. That means there's an anchor of the soul that you have. You'll see shortly. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope is he talking about? That by two immutable things is impossible for God to lie. That God gave a word of promise and then confirmed it by an oath. This is our consolation. There's a certainty to this thing we've been called to. Are you with me? There's a certainty. Believers are not producing results because their hearts are not sure. There's a certainty, sir. This is why we can speak boldly. This is why we can speak plainly. This is why when we enter into a prayer, we know it has to work. Are you with me? We are not guessing. No, we know. We know. We know that God has sworn. God has given his word. He didn't just give his word. He gave an oath of promise. It's certain. Guess what? If you understand the scriptures, many things are not up to God anymore. They are up to you. You will work it out. You will work it out. You use all the way the Old Testament prophets operated. I mean, the Old Testament covenant people, even down into the New Testament. Such confidence, isn't it? Because there's an assurance. When David was running towards Goliath, there was no, it's not that kind of thing you do it afraid. They say, do it afraid. No, he was not afraid. He was not afraid. Why? There's a certainty of this covenant. He was not afraid. He said, who is this uncircumcised? Circumcision. He brought in the covenant. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's saying, this man does not have covenant with Jehovah. That means he can't stand here and defy the armies of the living God. I'm going to take him down. He told Goliath, he says, I'm going to take off your head and give your carcass to the best of the field. To the beast of the field, rather. And the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And there was no sword in his hand. The Bible wrote it there. There was no sword in David's hand. I always say this. With this covenant, you don't speak based on what you have in your hand. You don't. There's backup. You don't speak. You can look at a land and say, we're going to buy this land and put an estate here. And they say, how much do you have in your account? They say, 10,000 naira. The question is, how much do you have in your invisible account? Blood. Blood. Oh, you didn't hear me. Blood. Glory to God. There was no sword in David's hand, but he spoke roughly. We're going to get into that today. He spoke boldly. Makapataya, keborabakataya. He spoke boldly. You should not be intimidated by devils and his children. By the devil and his children. No, either demons or human children. You shouldn't be. You know, someone was telling us during the week how that she was just to assume an office in a large brass tower. And then somebody came and met her and said, madam, why did you come here now? Because actually, people have been posted there and they died. And things happened to them. He said, why did you come here now? You know, you can imagine that boldness. He said, madam, you shouldn't have come. Now, they are talking because of what they trust. But our own Babalawo is in heaven. Oh, you didn't get him. We have a high priest. I'm quoting Bible. He says we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Our shrine is in heaven. It's in the Bible, Hebrews 13. We too have shrine. And our shrine is in heaven, in the third heavens. Who is more powerful? Are you here? So when they talk to you like that, tell them, we have my own high priest, no, they die. Your own, your Babala will soon die. Your shrine is on earth. My shrine is in the third heavens. Oh, are you with me? Yes. Glory to God. You see, if we're going to represent God in the marketplaces of life, demons, the powers of hell will come for us. But we're equipped. We have what it takes. We have what it takes. All we need is to demonstrate some confidence in this thing. Oh yes, it's to demonstrate some confidence in this thing. Didn't you read about Elijah? I told you the other week. He says, all the prophets come, pray to your God. Pray to your God. Let him send fire. And then before he said that, he sees the network. He off the mast. He off the mast. Oh, did I ever tell you the story of a dear sister? They went for an outreach. You know those outreach? We used to do those outreach. You sleep in the villages for 3 days. She hung her clothes on the other side of the camp. There was a Babalawo there. His networks. She hung clothes. Are you here? No, the Baba came. He said, there is a power here. What happened? That he cannot consult. He came. Are you with me? That's unconscious seizing of network by clothes that were hung. We are loaded. We are loaded. Maybe somebody is asking, how do I develop confidence in this thing? Go and listen to last week's message and listen to this message. Are you with me? Elijah came, he says, okay, call your God. Are you done? Then he says, he repaired the altar. He said, put sacrifice, pour water. Masemaya, pour water. Pour water. That means when it gets difficult, you know your God is about to gain glory. You know, you don't shake. No, you don't shake. The greater the testimony. Are you with me? The greater the testimony. Hallelujah. The greater the testimony. You know, one of the mindset I want to communicate through this teaching is for you to understand that, number one, there's a certainty to this thing to which you've been called. There's a precision, a certainty to our priesthood. We are not guessing. There's power. Power is on ground. Oh, power is on ground. Are you with me? There is a certainty. So there's no searching as though I have finished from school or NYC has finished. we pray for also, it's 2 years now, I've not gotten job. You don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. With this covenant, no. No. You tell yourself, okay, which industry am I supposed to be? Then you create the job. And we say, ah, pastor, are these things true? Yes. You create the job. Hallelujah. You create the job. This is not, oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, I don't know what you want to. No. 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 You know, oh God. When Naaman was sent to the king of Israel by the daughter, the servant, right? Sorry, the servant in his house, a Jewish servant. And that tells a lot. That tells a lot. How much confidence do you have in the power of God? Amen. You know, when people send me challenging cases, I like it. Are you with me? How much confidence do you have in the power of God? The lady says, you know what she said? She told her master, he says, I would to God that my master will go to the prophet in Israel. He will recover him of his leprosy. Aya. He will recover him of his leprosy. Such audacity, isn't it? And when he came, the king was afraid. He said, oh, the king of Syria is looking for my trouble. Am I God? He doesn't know better. The Bible says when the prophet heard, he was angry. He says, why are you crying? Send him to me. Amesumana. I will recover him of his leprosy. And he will know that there is a prophet, not God. Oh. They say your mother is dying. You say, God, if it's your will, what will? You say, put the phone on speaker. Mama, you are not dying. And then enter into priesthood. Are you with me? Why? There is a certainty. There is a certainty. That's what I want you to get. There is a certainty. There is a precision to this thing. It is found in the world. It's got to work. He's got to work. Send him to me. I'll recover him of his leprosy. You read about Daniel. When the king wanted to kill every of the magicians, every magician, Daniel came and said, oh king, give us time. We will tell you your dream and the interpretation. My God. My God. My God. Oh God. Do you remember the story I'm talking about in the book of Daniel? A king had a dream. And then he called his magician. He said, oh yeah, everybody, if you are powerful enough, tell me the dream and the interpretation. You see, and let me just add this. God will orchestrate difficult situations to promote you. Only be courageous. Don't be afraid. Did you get that? That was a difficult situation orchestrated for the promotion of Daniel and his friends. The magicians tried. They couldn't. In fact, I'm not sure they tried. Amen. You know, there's a cartoon that my children watch. In that cartoon, the story of Daniel, the magician said, oh, king, nobody does that. Who does that? You mean I should tell you your dream and the interpretation? Who does that? Amen. And then here comes Daniel, a covenant man. Let me tell you something. You have to trust something. To tell a king to give you time, that you will tell him his dream and his interpretation. Am I saying the truth? You can't do that with human energy now. They don't teach that kind of thing in Harvard. You are not taught in your universities. Amen. To know somebody's dream and then tell him interpretation. No. You must have attended some spiritual capacity building. That doesn't happen from the mind. Are you with me? Give us time. Give us time. Give us time. What a certainty. What a confidence. Give us time. Give us time. They returned with the dream and with the interpretation. The king was powerless. He said, there is no God but the God. Do you know he worshipped Daniel? The Bible says he worshipped Daniel. It's in the Bible. He says, there is no God but the God of Daniel. Amen. And as far as I was concerned, Daniel was an incarnate. You know, there's a way they think in those days that God's come in human form. You remember in Acts 14, you see the same thing. After Paul healed the man at Lystra, the Bible says the priest of Jupiter came. He says, the gods have come to us in the likeness of man. And he brought animals to make sacrifices before Paul. Amen. Because in those days, they understood what we call personification. But the God can take human form. It was a common practice. Pharaoh was a God man. Xerxes was a God man. Even Nebuchadnezzar was a God man. So when he saw a superior man, he says, that is another God man. Are you with me? What we have is tight. Is to sit on it and produce with it. Believers are going helter-skelter, going from south to north, everywhere. Instead of sitting on what we have, he produces. Glory to God. The first thing I said last week about developing confidence is the hearing of faith. How many of you remember that? Never forget it as long as you live. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. You have not heard until you are persuaded. Remember that. You have not heard. So when we say the hearing of faith, it's not listening to two messages. And I said, I listened to the word though, but faith did not come. No. You can write it somewhere. You have not heard until you are persuaded. That means you sit and hear until faith comes. Until faith comes. Oh, and for some of you who have sojourned with the word, you understand what I'm talking about. There are times you just sit there. You just sit there. You arrange the messages. You just sit there. You just sit there. You arrange the scriptures. You just sit there until faith comes. Suddenly, faith rises within you like a giant. You want to devour mountain. Of course, you are hearing the word and speaking in other tongues. Hearing the word, mingling with the word. What are you doing? You are interacting with the logic of God. That's what happens in the hearing of faith. You are interacting. Listen, the supernatural is logical. It is logic at a higher level. It's logical. That someone can get admission without jam is logical. It's just that your mind has been schooled by earthly information. That the dead can be raised to life is logical. That deadly cancer can disappear from a body is logical. We have seen it. That a deaf ear can hear is logical. But you see, for you to become conscious of such logic, you have to interact with the word. What is the word? The word is from the Greek called logos, right? From where is the root word for logical. Hope you know. Are you with me? That means the word of God is the logic of God. It's God's natural realm. To walk through a wall is normal. Jesus did it. Are you with me? And there's a father of faith in this generation that has done it. Amen. They sent assassins to him. As they got into the room, he stood up and walked to the wall and walked back. Won't you drop your weapons? Do you need counseling to drop the guns? No, you don't. Something in your mind will tell you, now this is not a human being. My life is in danger. You are the one with the gun. But you beg for your life. Amen? And register for discipleship. You say, Baba, teach us these ways. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The supernatural becomes logical as you hear. You may have come from a background where 10 million makes you sweat. When they say 10 million, you want to pass out. You know, there are people who don't believe they can ever drive brand new cars. Years ago, back in school, if my some of my classmates are in church. back in med school, you know, we used to talk big. Meko Pataya. That's for second service. We used to talk big. And then one guy responded, say, ah, brand new car. Brand new car. Why are you thinking of driving brand new car? Number one, it's not his mouth I'm using to talk. But you know what happened? I brought him out of his boundary. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the boundaries of life. That means how far you will go in life is set up in your heart. Amen. And when people start talking in a certain way, they bring you out of the boundary. But sometimes it's good to hang around such people so that they can expound the boundaries of your mind. Oh, hallelujah. I told you about a friend I had when I was doing house job. My salary was maybe about 200,000 as a young doctor over a decade ago. And then I'll come to his house, which is, how much is your salary? I tell you, say, that's my wife's shoes, one of her shoes. Amen. You laugh. Say, that's good. Though. That's my wife's shoes. 200,000. Amen. One of her shoes. And I buy it for her. That's what he would tell me. Amen. And I say, oh, that's wonderful. We receive. Oh, we enter into this thing. You see, you have two options. You cannot say, see this proud fellow. Is he trying to rubbish on my face? Am I not a young man? Are you with me? Amen. And funny enough, he was a young man too. He was older than me, but not so old. Are you with me? You see, you could say, he's just bragging. He's rubbishing on my face. I'm not come there again. No, me, I'll go there again. That's what I used to do. What was I doing? I was expanding my mind. I was mingling with another logic. There was a time then he was making 15 million per month from a deal. Amen. For somebody, that's their lifetime salary. 200,000. How many years is that? You're almost ready to retire. Amen. Oh, I'm blessed. Are you blessed this morning? I'm expanding your mind. Glory to God. So imagine hanging with God. That is a man. Imagine hanging around with God in his word, by hearing his logic, by hearing his word. Something will happen to your mind. Your paradigm will shift. Your logic will be upgraded. Are you with me? You know what God told Abraham when Sarah laughed? He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's one of my favorite. You see, every time I'm faced with difficulty, I go to Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, according to the time of life, I shall return. And Sarah shall embrace a son. Only God talks like that. To a 90-year-old woman. So when you read that, you know, whether there is fallopian tube, you use Galatian tube. Amen. If they say there's no fallopian tube, you use Galatian tube now. For God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He said, curses every man that hung on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And you saw that happen in Abraham. Are you with me? So Abraham could believe the impossible. You know, there's something about the supernatural. Once you hit it and the doors open, it comes with children. And this is why we say it's non-linear. That means it's not just what you are looking for. There's ability to reproduce results. You know, after Sarah died, Baba Abi married again and gave birth to 6 boys. That one, God did not need to come. The door has been opened. In that, this thing is simple now. It's simple, simple. It can work. Are you with me? The same thing with Anna. She gave birth to 5 more children. And in fact, some Bible scholars believe she gave birth to them at once. Poto Gabalakis. Are you with me? But you need to stay in the word long enough keep hearing the word. He says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This generation of believers will play down on the word. We prefer to go to prophet, prophesy for me. Oh, what are you seeing, prophet? And you have Christians who are even angry that God has forgotten them because the guest minister did not call their names to lay hands on them. Are you kidding me? You have a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. Why not stay in the word? Have you ever locked yourself for 10 hours listening to the word? Listening to the word until the anointing is upon you. You come and say, where are the mountains again? Where are the mountains? Where are you, mountain? Where? Because you would have so mingled with the logic of God until the supernatural becomes real. Don't say, I don't have faith. Stop talking like that. Your problem is you're not staying in the word. You're not staying in the word. Stay in the word. Oh, hallelujah. Stay in God's word. Keep hearing. Oh, keep hearing. Keep hearing. You remember in Mark, in Luke chapter 10, 39 to 42, let's read it. This was the good part that Mary took. Glory to God. This was the good part that Mary took. He says, and it shall not be taken away from her. That was what Jesus said. Give it to me. That's Luke 10, 39. Luke 10, 39. Oh, hallelujah. Meropakesa. All right. He says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's, I'm reading for 38. Then she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to come help me. Now, Jesus was not against Mary, okay, going to help to cook. Have it together. Neither was he against Martha cooking. That was not the point. And what Jesus says next shows you what was the concern. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about how many things? Cooking? Many things. That means her mind was bothered. Her mind was troubled. Have you ever been there where you are bothered about many things? Money is not coming as you have planned. Relationship is not really working. Marriage is stressing you out. Career, are you with me? Business, your academics, the masters you enroll, things are not working, blah blah blah, and then you are troubled about many matters. You are troubled about many matters. I announce to you the prescription of Jesus. But one thing is needful. That means the problem is not the many things you are troubled about. The problem is your wisdom to stick with the one thing that is needful. Write it somewhere. The challenge is not the many things you could be troubled about, okay, that are coming at you. The challenge is the decision to stick with the one thing that is needful. He says, but, that is a very destructive word, isn't it? But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. He calls it a good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What is the good part? The Bible says Mary sat at his feet hearing his word. Hearing his word. Hearing his word. When you are feeling confused, sad, almost depressed, you know what to do. Hear the word. Hear the word. I told you last week that God is big on hearing. Oh, he is so big on hearing. He is big on hearing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meditation. I spoke briefly about meditation last week. It's an art you must learn. Meditation. Meditation. That's the second part. Meditation. And the beautiful thing is, meditation begins with hearing. And then you ponder on what you have heard. And then you mutter. That means your mouth moves when you're meditating. Meditate on the word. Speak it. Think over it. Have thinking time. Have meditation time. It's a biblical practice. prophetically, we saw in Genesis 24, so the Bible says Isaac went to the field to meditate. And then from the place of meditation, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels coming. Oh. He saw the camels. That means in the place of meditation, you see supernatural supplies. Meditate. He's not here. Oh, money. Oh, no. Money is not missing. Oh, this one. Oh, no. No. Meditate. 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 In fact, this is how you build. Part of your devotional life is meditation. A major part of your devotional life is meditation. Learning to pause and think on God's word and mutter God's word. In whatever area you need change or whatever scripture you have scheduled, you learn to pause and meditate and think deeply on it. You think on it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am of God, I have overcome them. Wealth and riches are in my house, and my righteousness endures forever. Are you with me? I learn at his feet. You are thinking, my walk with God is solid. You are thinking, you are meditating. He has loved me with an everlasting love. And with his loving kindness, he has drawn me close. With his loving kindness, he has drawn me close. His love is unfailing. Oh, God willing more abundantly to show to me the air of his promise, the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. For by two immutable things, in which is impossible for God to lie. God, you did not lie to me. Oh, you did not lie to me. When you showed me Romans 1:5 is real, you didn't lie to me. You are meditating. You are meditating. And you are talking, Father, thank you. Your grace, your mercies are new every morning. You daily load me with benefits. I will not be stranded. My life will get better. You have said, we all beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image as by the Spirit of God. Ugly caterpillars do become beautiful butterflies. My beautiful and flying days are here. I will not always be like this. No, I will not always be like this. I will not always be single. I will not always be like this financially. I will not always be like this in this career. I see great days. I see great days. I see flying days. I see beautiful days. In the name of Jesus, you are meditating. Not so long you begin, the spirit of prophecy will come upon you. You see yourself prophesy. Oh, the anointing come upon you. You start prophesying. I'm a mountaintop dweller. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The Lord has gone before me. Yes, every crooked path is made straight. In the name of Jesus. You start prophesying. All my heart desires are granted. Oh, they are. Melo framakine kosa. That's meditation. That's meditation. You see, your heart will become assured of God's word. Your heart will become assured of God's word. You become confident. Or you notice when the next challenge comes, your response will be different. Your response will be different. Number one, you notice that you are not shaking anymore. You see, when curved balls still gets you jittery, shaking, it has not entered though. Steady until it enters. Don't feel bad, but steady until it enters. When you are worried that your rent expired and you didn't plan for it, of course you should plan, but there are times things could happen. But you see, if you have been developing your spirit, you won't be bothered. You will not be bothered. While you have meditated on be anxious for nothing. That's what he said. He said, be anxious for nothing. That means nothing should get you anxious. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The anxiety files are deleted. They are disabled. 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 Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, mixed with thanksgiving. He says, make your request known to him. I'm the peace of God. Oh, and the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. I mean, the peace that you cannot explain with your mind. People are wondering, why are you not? But I say, me, I don't know. I have peace. But you can't explain it. The peace of God that surpasses human understanding. He says, he shall garrison your heart. I love the word. The Greek word means the way you have military. You know those Roman garrisons guarded by soldiers. He says the peace of God shall garrison your heart. He shall garrison your heart. The peace of God. Listen, what I'm teaching you is part of your equipping for representing Jesus. You are being equipped to be an ambassador of Christ. You are being equipped to be a labeno kematosa, a representation of the Father on the earth. You are being equipped to speak for Him in places that matter. Are you with me? This is part of your equipping. This is part of your equipping. At Glory Zone, we say we exist to win, equip, and deploy supernatural believers everywhere, taking over every sphere. Are you with me? It's part of your equipping. Anxious for nothing. So meditation. Let me wrap up this in first service. The third thing is extended time praying in other tongues. Give me Jude 20 Amplified. Extended time praying in other tongues. I'm still on developing confidence in the covenant. Extended time praying in other tongues. Prayer does something to your spirit. I have said it again and again that the genus of prayer is not the physical answers you get. The genus of prayer is in the transformation of your inner man. That is the genus of prayer. That is the power of prayer. It does something to your inner man. It does something to your soul. When you pray, you are transformed from within. And part of that transformation is to give you a heart that trusts God. Are you with me? So prayer is not about asking God for something. No. Number one, it's about fellowship. Number two, it's about generating energy. First, for internal transformation. Then change of the things on the outside. Pray in other tongues. Have extended time for praying in other tongues. Schedule it. Schedule it. Have your daily devotion. But create time weekly where you can stretch in tongues. Where you can pray in other tongues. Where you can pray in the spirit. Are you with me? Again, it's part of fellowship. It's part of fellowship in God. It does something to your heart. It makes you more confident in this thing we're talking about. You see, when people don't trust God with critical areas of their lives, check it very well. Chances are they don't pray in other tongues. They don't spend time praying in other tongues. When you do, you see yourself naturally trusting God with the different critical areas of your life. Because prayer is declaration of dependence on God. Oh yes, that's what happens in prayer. It's a declaration of dependence. You are saying, Lord, your boy is here, or your girl is here. That's what's happening in prayer. Depending on Him. Pray in other tongues. You can put the scripture up. Pray. Two prayers, truths move from our heads to our hearts. As you are praying in tongues, you are mixing the word. You are mixing the word. You are mixing the word. They say faith does not come by prayer, but faith is purified by prayer. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Are you seeing this? Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. He's self-explanatory. King James says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. On your most holy faith. On your most holy faith. Are you seeing that? That means there is a solid font that prayer gives to your faith. Amen. Prayer makes your faith as adamant as a rock. Like a flint. You're unshakable. You are bold. Malakapa. Oh, you are bold. Mikapatosa. You are bold. And it's not when the challenges of life comes that you prepare. No. No. No, here and there be praying. Be praying. You may not know the power of the investment in prayer, but to speak, I've told you, on a certain day, when you need certainty of power, your investment will show. So here and there, be praying. When you hear a prayer meeting, and let me announce, 1st October, we are here 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. How many hours is that? 10 hours. How many hours is that? 10 hours. We are in this church, 1st October, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Be here. We'll be praying and hearing word. We call it total immersion. Are you here? So you shouldn't miss it. Listen, there's no other hope that you have. Oh. The government does not have plans for you. United Nations does not have plans for you. It's set up for an agenda, a secular agenda. I hope you know. Your uncle doesn't have plans for you. Don't be deceived. So hold God with two hands. Babalawo does not have plans for you. Are you with me? Glory to God. I'm just saying this for fun because I know people here don't go to Babalawo. Amen. That's a waste of time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Number three. Number four now. Practice the covenant with little things. I talked about that last week. Okay. David had killed the lion and the bear before Goliath came. And I told you, don't go for easy alternatives. Insist on the power of God. For those so-called little things, when you feel headache, don't rush Panadol. Amen. Oh, you didn't hear that. Or you've heard that. All right. Use the word. Okay. Hallelujah. And number five, stretch for the big and huge things. Okay? We call it testing the limits of the covenant. Hallelujah. Stretch for the big and huge things. It's part of how you develop confidence in the covenant. There are times you jump and fly. How many of you remember that message? Jump is time to fly. How many of you remember that message? Jump is time to fly. That means you are stepping out to do things that look bigger than you. Oh, you should do that. Amen. Before David killed Goliath, he had never killed a Goliath before. That means there's always the beginning. Attempt big things. You say, Pastor, what if I fail? You are better off than people who did not attempt it. Are you with me? Attempt big things. You say, Pastor, the last time I tried, I was locked up because I went into debt. Good for you. Again, you are better off than people who never try. Trust me. At least you have learned how not to do it. You see, you collected 10 million to trade Forex. Now all the money has gone. And they have locked you up. Amen. Congratulations. Your mind is expanding. Amen. Are you here? Please don't go and collect 10 million to trade Forex. I'm talking to people who have done it. But you see, you are better off than people who played safe. Maybe the next time you take will be 50 million. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Rise to your feet with a shout. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's close first service and get ready for our second service. Have you been blessed? Just be on your feet and speak in other tongues. Can we just pray a little bit? Hallelujah. Amen. Look up at me. Amen. Two things. If you're here,
we believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.